Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, and Luke chapter 12, 13 through 21. Matthew 6, 19, 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And from Luke, someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." And then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." May God add his blessing to this, the reading of his holy word. Our song of meditation this morning is on the insert, the blue insert in your bulletin. And our children through grade 4 may be excused at this time, after the singing, for Kid Connection.
Well done, choir. It's good to have Randy and Dave back, but I have to tell you, the four women last week did a fabulous job, so watch out. But it is good to have you back. Will you pray with me? Lord, open our ears, our eyes, and our hearts to hear you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you a Steigbeard? Well, you might say, I don't know, because I don't know what that means. Jerry came to me before the service and with the bulletin and said, what does this word mean? I said, I'm going to tell you in my sermon, Jerry. So here it is, Jerry. It's an old English term for steward or housekeeper. Steig means house and weird means keeper. The steward, the definition of a steward is one who manages another's property, finances, or other affairs. It was an office of great responsibility, but it also required great accountability. And the stewards had no inherent authority of their own, and the authority that they did have was entrusted to them by their masters. When we acknowledge God as the Lord of our lives, we come to see ourselves as God sees us. And so stewardship is how we serve God. It's everything that we do after we accept Christ. It becomes the expression of our freedom in Christ. However, so many times when we hear the word stewardship, we think just of money. But that's not the only thing that is involved in stewardship, particularly when it comes to ministry. For ministry to happen, it requires people and resources. In the last couple of weeks, you have all hopefully received the stewardship covenant form that has five areas on it. One of the five is financial, but the others have to do with all parts of our lives. And you have been asked to prayerfully consider, to covenant on some things between you and the Lord, and then on others to commit to some things that are needed here within our body and in terms of our outreach, or some things that you are interested in hearing more about or being involved in. If we are to reach outside, we need to people to make it happen, as well as finances. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. And then in 1 Peter, it says, each one should use whatever gift he or she has received to serve others. God has the expectation that we will use the gifts that he has given us. But he leaves the responsibility up to us to decide how and where we do that. So hopefully each one of you can commit to one or more areas as we move ahead. And yes, there is a financial piece to stewardship. We can't do ministry without money. However, many people have the misconception that stewardship is primarily to pay the church bills. Well, that's certainly part of it. But first and foremost, stewardship is a lifestyle rooted in grace that expresses our fruit of gratitude. Stewardship is another word for discipleship. The scripture that Lana just read to us from the Gospel of Matthew speaks to us as individuals as well as to us as a church. When Jesus tells us we are not to amass material things or money, he's telling that because those things can, as it says in the scripture, can rot, can lose value. A thief can come in and steal them from us. But rather, we are to concentrate on the things that will last, like our relationship with Jesus. Jesus says that wherever our treasure is, that's where our heart will be also. Now, he never said that the things of this world are unimportant and that we shouldn't have them or enjoy them. But we have to remember that this world is not the end of life. And we are to never to lose our hearts to the things of this world, but rather to keep our eyes fixed on the goal, which is our calling in Jesus Christ. Our God is an abundant God. And if you don't believe that, then you're making God small. But God doesn't need us to give back to him as if a return on his investment in us, or a kickback for blessing us, or even a duty like paying taxes. Giving should be a heart-driven act. Stewardship is at its best when it's given from gratitude and love, and that's the driving force behind it. It's to be our first priority, our first fruit. So what drives your giving? Is it out of need or duty or a sense of obligation? Is it what you think you're expected to do? Or is it from a willing and grateful heart that gives deliberately to participate in ministry? Paul instructed the Corinthian church to be intentional about their giving when he says, "You should each give them as you have decided, not with regret or out of a sense of duty, for God loves the one who gives gladly." Now, some people think that faith and finances don't mix. But they do. There are over 2,300 passages of scripture, verses, that deal with financial considerations in the Bible. And half of Jesus' parables dealt with money matters. So since he spent so much time talking about that subject, it's obvious that for him that divide did not exist. What we do with our money is an accurate reflection of our spiritual priorities. But many times stewardship is motivated by guilt. However, stewardship, like all of our Christian life, is born of grace. And unless it's rooted in grace, it becomes forced. And that's not what God wants. The Greek word hilaros means cheerful. It's the word we get hilarious from. So the goal of the church is to raise up hilarious givers who are as ungrudging in giving back to God as he was in giving us his son. Now, some in the church may feel that the job of encouraging congregational financial stewardship is the job of A, the pastor, B, the parish council, C, the finance committee, D, the deacons, E, all of the above. But the work of teaching and encouraging financial stewardship falls to each one of us. We all have the responsibility to better appreciate how our faith affects our finances, and then how we model that to our young people. How much importance do we put on money in the church? God certainly expects us to be wise stewards of what he has given us and to use it wisely. The second scripture that Lana read from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus tells a parable in there about a rich man who had an abundance of crops. And so what did he do? But he decided to build bigger barns to store it in so that he would have it for the future. And he was very cocky about it. And then the Lord comes to him and says, "This very night you're going to lose your life. So who's going to get those things that you're hanging on to now?" And then Jesus concludes that parable with, "This is how it is with those who pile up riches but are not rich in God's sight." We are to be faithful to our calling, trusting God to provide for what we need when we need it. If we hunker down and we hang on to a lot of money for a rainy day, then we have absolutely no need for faith. And if we worry about whether we'll have enough for the future, it doesn't say much about what we think about God. Dave and I have always been tithers. We both grew up in a home that tithed. And so we started out our marriage that way, of taking the 10% right off the top. Early in our marriage, money was tight. And I remember a time when we had a bill for that was $50, and I didn't know how we were going to pay it. And I was worried about it. And I said, "Lord, I just don't know how we're going to pay this. We just don't have this money." But there had been a couple that had joined our church. They actually had become Christians. Dave had led them to the Lord, baptized them, took them to the church membership class. They joined our church. They invited us over for dinner the Sunday that they were baptized. And they invited another couple, and the other couple hadn't gotten there yet. And so the husband came in, and he handed me a card, and he said, "I just want to give this to you before the Schmidts come." And I thought it was probably a nice little thank you note for what Dave has done. And I didn't open it until we were in the car on the way home. And when I opened it, there was $50 in it. Now, I'm not going to say that that same thing is going to happen every single time, but God knows what our needs are, and He will provide for us in some way when we are faithful to giving to Him. We are called to step out in faith, use the resources that God has already entrusted to us, and then trust Him to provide for us in the future. What we keep, we lose. What we spend, we have. John was a new Christian, and he was understood the joy of Christian living and giving. And then he lost his job. And he made an appointment with his pastor. The pastor fully expected John to ask him if the church could perhaps help him out with finances during that tough time. But he was surprised when John said, "This is terrible. Do you know what this is going to do to my giving to God?" John had no concerns about whether God would provide for his needs or not. But he was concerned about his diminished giving to God. Matthew 6:33 says, "God will give you all you need from day to day if you live for Him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern." We just sang that verse, and when many of us learned it as, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I told you about how many of the Baptists in Central and Eastern Europe build their church buildings. They give what little money they have, and then they buy materials, and then they themselves come to the work site after work during the week and on weekends, and they begin to build the church. And when they run out of materials, they have to stop until they get enough money to go buy more materials, and then they come back and they build again. And it may take years, and has taken years, for some of those church buildings to finally be finished and that they can worship in. But they know that from firsthand experience that God is faithful, but that He requires trust on their part and for them to be faithful to their calling as disciples. For God's redeemed people, stewardship begins with an understanding that we are entrusted and charged with the responsibility of managing all that God has given us, our time, our gifts, and our money. The gospel is the highest trust that is given to us as stewards. And the Church of Jesus Christ is the steward of that reconciliation in the world today. If Christ were to return today, what would He say to us here at First Baptist? Would He find us doing what He has called us to do, or simply waiting for the future? We as a church must take seriously our vocation as stewards of God's grace. It is redeeming grace that empowers us to live as stewards over all that God has entrusted us with. Christ's redemptive work extends beyond our personal salvation to embrace heaven and earth. And our concerns should be just as broad. And the day is coming when we will be stewards of a new heaven and a new earth. And we are preparing for that future by serving as faithful stewards right now. As we prepare for our Stewardship Covenant Sunday in 2 weeks, each one of you are asked to prayerfully consider if you are ready and willing to be good stewards. Just don't wait too long to decide. Let us pray. Lord, You have given us all that we have, and You ask us to give back a portion. And so, Lord, we covenant with You that we will each prayerfully consider what we may give of our time, of our gifts, of our financial resources to use to minister to those right here in our community and across the nation and around the world. We thank You for the grace that You have extended to us, and we ask that You help us to extend that to others. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll turn in our hymnals for our Song of Response, to hymn number 385, Take My Life and Let It Be. Let's really sing and these words, listen to them as we sing them, because it's talking about all parts of our lives that we are asking God to take and use. Number 385, Take My Life and Let It Be. Words from Malachi, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough in my temple. If you do, says the Lord Almighty, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Let me prove it to you. Let's sing our hymn of departure, found in your bulletin.